On daf yud tes amud aleph, halfway through the amud, the first one in the line of Yisu. The Gemara just mentioned that there were three people and three different cases of those who were guilty of a sin that's worthy of nidui because they insulted the kavod rav, and we found these three cases in the Mishnah. The last was, if you remember, we had a discussion achoni amagol. Hamegis daito klapi mala. So the Gemara now asks v'su leka. There are no other cases where we find nidui in the Mishnah because of someone who insulted kvod harav va'ika. The Tani Rav Yosef, at least if not in a Mishnah, we have in a brisa of Rav Yosef. Todos ish romi hiniges b'nei romi la'achilon g'dayayim mikulasim. These were tsluyim. Tsluyim means they were roasted. They were roasted whole with their kishkis inside, and it was with a spit. And this was belele psachim on the night of Pesach. And he was manigim, he forced them to do this because it was a zecher lekarbon Pesach. Because just like on Leila Pesach, when the Migdash stood, they would roast the Korban Pesach when it was complete, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Bo, Al Kra'ov Yal Kirbo. So too, he did this now as a Zecher. Sholach Lei Shimon Ben Shetach, Il Mole Todo Sata. If not for the fact that you're a scholar and a person who's respectable, Gozrani Alecha Nidui, I would put you into Nidui, Shatom Akil Israel Kodshibakutz. You know, it's people who see that you're doing the Zecher and you're roasting this goat. They think that there was Hegdish, it was somebody who was Magdish the animal, and they're going to begin to think that you're allowed to eat Kodshibakutz. And here also is a case where they wanted to put him into Nidui because of Kavod Rav. He violated the Takanas Chachamim as formulated by the Gemara Beitzach of Beis, not to eat a Gedi Sholem that was roasted on the night of Pesach because it looks like Okel Kodshim B'chutz. So we had Rabbi Lazar who brought a number of cases, but why didn't he bring this case from this Braisa, where again it's clear that they put him into Nidui because of Kavod Rav? So the Gemara answers, the reason why we said that he only found three places where there was Nidui al Kavod Rav is b'mishnah senu kamrinan, only with regard to the Mishnah of Aha. In this last case, Brisa, he's only a Brisa, was left out of the Mishnah. The Gemara asked him, Masnisa leka, and in our Mishnah we don't find other cases of Nidui al Kavod Rav va'ika, don't we have the case of Hadesnan, the Mishnah in Kalim, with regard to a tanur shel cheres. So this is an oven that was made of earthenware, shenitma, and it became tamei. The case we're talking about is a tanur that was made of cement, and they strengthened it inside the hot furnaces, and that's how they make this tanur, and it's a kli. And it can be moved, it's movable. And when it becomes tamei, it has no tara to mikvah. What it needs is, based on the parsha in Vayikra Yud Aleph, is netitza. You have to take it, just break it apart. And the Mishnah records, with regard to this tanur, that they broke it down, they did the netitza in a way that chotcho chulios, that they cut it into these round pieces on the width of the oven, v'nasan, and then they added cement of chol that was made out of sand between each chulia in order to create an adhesion between the various segments, these small parts, the broken parts. And Rabbi Eliezer said that the tanur is now tar, because he did the netitza, and it's not makabel tumah, because since he used chol, in order to connect the pieces together, and this chol was not burnt in the oven, then therefore this oven now is not considered a kli cheres, but rather it's considered a kli adama, which is made out of earthenware, and it's not makabel tumah. So that you have to add here that each one of these small pieces was very small. It was less than the width of 4 tefachim, and therefore it doesn't have a shame kli cheres. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore it's tar. Chachamim mitamim. Chachamim say that if this tanur would come in contact with something tummy, it becomes tummy. And the reason for the chacham is because since these pieces of cheres, even though he used sand in order to be machaber them, to connect them together, it wasn't baked in the furnace, nevertheless, it still has a din of kli cheres, and therefore it's mekabel tumah. V'zeh tanuro shalach noy. And this is called the tanur of a nachash, a serpent, that goes around and around, and it puts its tail around until it gets into its mouth. And this is what the tanur looked like. It had these round pieces that were attached one to the other with sand. So the Gemara says, "My, what is this tanur shel achnoi that the Mishnah was speaking about? That's why is it called achnoi?" Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Malamed sheikifu halachos ki achnoi zeh. That the Chachamim surrounded Rabbi Eliezer with halachos, means with proofs, like this nachash that goes around and around, and until it puts its tail into its mouth. And they were metame this tanur. And since they were noeg bo kiachnoi, therefore the tanur was called a tanur shalachnoi. This is the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Lezer about the tanur shel achnoi. So the Gemara now brings a brisa that would explain why nidui was appropriate here as far as Rabbi Eliezer was concerned. V'tanya, we learned in a brisa that this debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim with regard to this tanur, whether it has a din, a status of kli cheres, even without being placed into the furnace, is metame or not metame. And let's say, for example, a sheretz would fall into what's called the avir hatanur, the airspace of the tanur was hanging in the airspace, and then they would be what's called osubotaros, and Rabbi Eliezer was mitire everything because he held that this tanur doesn't have a din of a kli cheres. Is ba'oso yom, on that very day that they made the final decision that this tanur was tummy against Rabbi Eliezer, heviu kol taro shetir Rabbi Eliezer, they brought all the foodstuffs that Rabbi Eliezer had paskin that they would tarvis sarfon lefanov, and in his presence they burnt it at, like the din of Truma Tveya. Ubasof berchu, at the end they put him into nidri. And all this was because Rabbi Eliezer refused to accept the final verdict of the Chachamim. He kept insisting on his psak, and he was mitire all the tarets that came in contact with this cheres, or with anything that came in contact with the halal of this cheres, anything that came into the airspace of the cheres. So again, we have another case, and here it's codified in the Mishnah, of someone who was placed into nidui because of kavod rav. So the Gemara answers, afilu hachi, nidui b'masnisin lo tnan. This testimony that nidui, that Rabbi Eliezer was put into nidui, is not mentioned anywhere in the Mishnah. It's only mentioned in the Braisa. And therefore, the discussion that we had before about Rabbi Lazar, not Rabbi Eliezer, that he only found three places where they were not, they might cover the rab, that's as far as the Mishnah is concerned. So Gemara now asks, Ella, what about what we have in the name of Yeshua ben Levi, the Esther of the Arba Makomos? That's what we saw yesterday. In 24 cases or categories, we find that we menadeh someone on Kavod HaRav. Heichem Ishkachas La. Where do you find this? If Rabbi Elazar didn't find only three, where do we find 24? And the Gemara answers Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who found 24 places for this nidui. That's because midama milsa la milsa. As he didn't find any explicit mention in the Mishnayos about a great machlokas between Yochid and Rabim, where the Chachamim would put someone into nidui, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi made an analogy and he compared one case to another. He created principles based on the various cases where nidui applies, and he came up with 24 categories of situations where you would put someone into nidui for the lack of kavod harav. We don't know exactly which Mishnayos Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had in mind and which analogies he had, but Rabbi Elazar did not find anything more than three places, and lo midama milsa milsa, he never derived any conclusions by virtue of analogy, and that's why he left it with three. Let's go back to our Mishnah now. No se amita v'chilufeyem. The Mishnah says eshelufnei amita tzorach mehem p'turim ikriyachma. Those who are in front of the bier of the coffin and they're carrying it, and we need them, they are fulfilling a very important mitzvah of kvura, and therefore they're part of kriyachma. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, ein motzi en esames. We don't take out the dead body lekovra to bury him, somach lekriyachma, close to the zman of kriyachma. And the reason for this is we don't want those who are osek b'mes to be mafsid, to lose the mitzvah of kriyachma, because the time for kriyachma is going to quickly pass. But v'yim ischilu, if they began taking out the mess and now it became time for kriyachma, ein mafsikin, we're not going to stop and terminate because we have a mitzvah covered a mess of kuras a mess, and we're not going to stop even for kriyachma. We continue on our way since we began until we can complete this mitzvah. The Gemara asks, v'eini, is this really so? Is it true that we don't take the mess out to bury him somewhere close to the Zman of Kriyachma of Rav Yosef Afku? When Rav Yosef died, they took out his mita somewhere close to Zman Kriyachma. The Gemara answers, Adam Chashiv Shaini. There's an exception to the rule in the case of somebody who was Chashiv like Rav Yosef, and they would take out him out to Kfura without delaying, even though it was close to the time for Kriyachma, because it would not be covered a mess that they should get distracted and get involved in anything other than kfura. Now we learned in the Mishnah that those who carry the bier, the coffin, and those who will replace them and the replacements of the replacements, all those that are lifnei amita and liachar amita, with regard to lifnei amita, those who are in the front, then if tzarech bahem, we need them, is pturim. But those who are liachar amisa, even though we need them, they're going to get a second round, but nevertheless, chayovim, they're obligated in the mitzvos of kriyachma, etc. And the Gemara now brings a brisa with regard to kriyachma during hesped. Tanu Rabbanan, the brisa taught us, ha'oskim v'hesped, those who are involved in hesped, which of course takes place before kuras ames, so they too are osek v'mitzvos ames. Is now we're going to take a look at the Braisa and see whether or not these people who are involved in Hesped are in fact Chayav Mitzvahs or Potter Mitzvahs. Bisman Shames Mutalifneihem, if the mess is in front of them and they're delivering the eulogy, Nishmatim, those who participate in the audience, they leave Echad Echad. They don't want to leave it obvious that everyone's packing out. That would not be covered up mess. But one by one, they sneak out, but they will not read Kriyachma in front of the mess. They have to be Nishmatim. They have to leave the area because, as we discussed yesterday, there's something called Loeg LaRosh, which means it's a bizoyan to the mess if we do mitzvahs in his presence, in the presence of the mess, because he cannot do mitzvahs. But if ein ames mutal ifneim, if the mess is in one house And there in another house, Hei Yoshvi V'Korin, they could recite Kriyat Shema. Vehu and the Avil, Yoshev V'Domim, he will be silent, because as we said before Kfura, he has the Din of an Onen, and he is excluded from Kriyat Shema. Heim Omdu Mispalim, they get up and they daven. For who and the Ovil is Omeru Matzik Olavus Adin, he's Chayv in the mitzvah of Tziduk Adin to accept the justice of Almighty God. V'Omer, and he declares, Ribono Olamim, Harbe Chatosi L'Farecha, I'm guilty of many sins, V'lo Nefrata Mimeni, you didn't punish me, El Echad, Mini Elef, 1,000. Yirotzu Fenecha Hashem Elokeinu, Shetigdar Pirtzoseinu, Upirtzos Kol Amcha Beis Yisrael V'Rachamim. You should close up all the pirtzos, all those openings, the crevices within the people of Israel with compassion. Now, Abaye was wondering about the nusach of this tefillah, as it's mentioned here in the price of this formulation. Omar Abaye, lo mi boile l'inshu l'meimar hachi. It's not appropriate for a person to recite this nusach as it appears in the Brisa, to say lo nifrata mimeni echad mimeni elef, you haven't punished me 1,000, because it implies that he's telling HaKadosh Baruch that he should mete out punishment against him. The Omer Shimon ben Lakish, the chein tana mishmei de Rabbi Yossi liolam al yiftach adam pelisata, he shouldn't open his mouth in a way that would invite the midas hadin and all the prosecutors against him. The Omer Rabbi Yosef, my kra'a, what's the source? What's the pasuk from which we're going to derive this Isur lift off pedal satan shenemar? It says with regard to the Navi, when he said to the people of Yerushalayim that regarding the Churban of Yerushalayim, he said, Yishayo, Luli Hashem Tzfakos, Hosir Lanu Sarid, Kimat Kistom Hayinu, Lamora Daminu. In other words, if not for the fact that God had compassion on us, then we would be destroyed like Stom and Amora. And since he compared the people of Israel to Stom and Amora, is therefore Maya Hadri Lahu, what did they respond to the Navi? And they said, Shimu Dvar Hashem Ktsine Stom, Azinu Torah Salukenu Am Amora. You compare your actions to the Ktsina, meaning the Sarim of Stom V'Amora. And as a result, they were Ma'orer, they aroused the Midas Adin to profess or express Chova, you know, the negative things, to prosecute against them. So this comparison to Stom V'Amora is really a dangerous kind of thing that we have to avoid. So when the Anshei Yerushalayim expressed themselves with the formula Kim'at Kistom Hayinu, even though they were saying the truth, that if not for the compassion of God, they would completely be destroyed because of their sins, but since they compared themselves, which they didn't have to do, to Stom V'Amora, then the Navi responds to them, Yishayo Shimu Dvar Hashem Ktsinei Stom. And basically, he was telling them that they should not have compared themselves to stone. They should have said, Lule Hosir Lanu Sorid Gavanu Avadnu Kulanu, but they shouldn't have gone that far to compare themselves to stone. Now, the language here is a little bit difficult, because when it says Kim'at Kistom Hayinu, that was actually the expression of the Navi himself. And when the Gemara says here that Maya Hadr Lahu, it sounds like the Navi is responding to what they said, and in a sense criticizing them. But if you take a look at Gemara Ksubis on Daf Ches, the Gir says Maya Hadr Le without the word Navi, and this seems to be the more precise Girsa, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was responding. The Mishnah says Kavuas Hames V'Chazru. And the Mishnah says that after the Kfura, if they have time to begin and complete Kriyat Shema, up before they get to the Shura, then they should begin Kriyat Shema. If they don't have enough time, they shouldn't begin Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara now clarifies, what does it mean in the Mishnah Ligmar? Does it mean to read the entire Kriyat Shema or some segment thereof? So the Gemara says that the Mishnah seems to imply in Yecholim Lahaskav Aligmaras Kula, only if there's enough time before they get to the Shura to complete the entire Kriyat Shema, then they can begin Kriyat Shema. Aval, but if Perek Echad or Pasuk Echad Lo Yaschilu, if they can only complete one chapter of Kriyat Shema, one verse of Kriyat Shema, they should not begin. Reminu, and we have a kasha from a brisa, Kavru Sames V'Chazru, after they bury the dead and they go back from the kfura, if Yechol Laskel V'Ligmar Afilu Perek Echad or Pasuk Echad, if they have enough time to complete one chapter of Kriyat Shema, or even one pasuk of Kriyat Shema, until they get to the Shura, they should begin and recite that part of Kriyat Shema. So that's against the Diyuk in our Mishnah. So the Gemara answers, Hachi Nami Ka'amar, we can put this back into our Mishnah. And what the Mishnah meant to say was, if Yecholim Lahaschil V'Ligmar Afilu Perek Echad Afilu Pasuk Echad Ash Lo Yagilu Shur Yaschilu V'Imlav Lo Yaschilu. So in other words, if the Shura is very close to the Kvura, and they won't even have enough time to recite a Perek or a Pasuk, they should not begin Kriyat Shema. Now it's very interesting here, because what we're dealing with really is the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. That's what the Shura is all about. And if they haven't yet gotten to the Shura, they have not yet become obligated in the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. So why shouldn't they be obligated in the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? And once they would start the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, then they would be parted from Nichum Avelim, because obviously the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is part of a mitzvah. So the Shita Megubetzes answers that the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim, the Shura, is incumbent upon them from the moment of Kvura. It doesn't begin when they get to the Shura, because the Shura itself is a continuation of the Kvura and the mitzvah of Kavod Ames. And therefore the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim actually preempts the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, because it begins with the Kfura itself. And here we turn to Daf Yutes Amid Beis. The Mishnah says, Ha'omdim B'Shura, those who are in the Shura. Now there are many Shuros, there are many lines here that surround the Avel. The Avelim go between the Shura, so the people in the Shuras pass by the Avel. And the Mishnah differentiates between those who are on the inner circle, the inner line, and they see the face of the Avel. They're part of from Kriyat Shema. The Chitzonim, those who are in the outer lines, they don't see the face of the Avel, they don't make eye contact. They're Chayav in Kriyat Shema. Tanu Rabbanu, we learned at Raisa, who are the Pnimim and who are the Chitzonim? Shura Haroa Pnima. This is the Tanakhama of the Braisa, and he says, if the place where they're standing is panui, in other words, there is some space between the premium and the chitzonim, so it's not that they're tzafuf, that they're connected to each other, so there's airspace, which means that the Avelim could see even beyond the Shura Pnimis, they even could get a vision of those who are standing on the line that is chitzonius, because they see sort of over the shoulders of those who are on the pnimius, and they see the chitzonius, then in such a case, the chitzonios have the same status as the pnimios, and they're pturim in a kriyat shema. However, the she'ena roa pnima, if the outer circles of the lines for the Shura are so far removed, or there's so many bodies between them and the Ovel that they can't see the Ovel, and therefore the Ovel can't see them, then the Chayiv and Kriyat Shema. Rav Yehuda Omer, Haboyim Machmas HaOvel, those who are there for the sake of Nichum Avelim, Pturim Kriyat Shema. And the group of people who are Machmas Atzman, they were sort of spectators, they're not there for the purpose of Nichum Avelim, then they are Chayav in Kriyat Shema. And the Rishonim have a debate here about what exactly Rabbi Yehuda has in mind. Some say that Rabbi Yehuda was Machmir, and he's coming to tell us that when we said that the Shura that's Roa Pnima is Pturim Kriyat Shema, that's only amongst those who came Machmas Avel. They have some sort of connection to the Avelim, and they're there for the purpose of Nichum. those who come for other reasons than just spectators, they're rubberneckers, is even if they see Pnima, nevertheless the chayv in Kriyat Shema. But other Rishonim say that no, on the contrary, Yehuda is coming to be Mekil, he's going on the Seifa, he's coming to tell us that that which we said in the Seifa, that the Shura She'ena Roa Pnima, that the outer lines or circles, or chayv and kriyat shema, those who are standing at a distance, that's only because they came as spectators. They don't have any connection to the avelim. But if they came specifically for the purpose of nichum avelim, then they're potter from kriyat shema. The Gemara now clarifies those isurim that have to be overridden, that have to be trumped as a result of kavod avriyos. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, hamotzei kelayim bebigdo, if he finds kelayim in his beged, and he's in the marketplace, every minute that he's wearing the kelayim, he's violating an isur doraisa of kelayim. And the Torah says that if you have a combination of tzemer and pishtin together in your beged, that's called kelayim doraisa. And for the sake of not violating an isur doraisa poshtan, he has to take them off afilu b'shuk, even though it would be somewhat embarrassing, as we could imagine, to strip of his clothes in the middle of the shuk. Now there's a girsa here that says hamotzi kalayim bebigdo poshto. We don't have that girsa of poshto. We have poshtan afilu b'shuk, and it means that dafka, in the case where he found kalayim bebgadim in his own beged, he has to be poshted afilu b'shuk because of the principle which we'll see later called ein chach vein tfuna keneged Hashem. But what about a case where Reuven sees kelayim in the beged of Shimon, and Shimon is unaware of the fact that he's wearing kelayim in his beged? Then we don't have to tell him and notify him in the middle of the shuk that he has kelayim. We can wait till he comes home, bishum kovad abrios. And the reason for that is that you don't have to be mafresh someone from an aver b'shogeg. The Rambam, however, in Perek Yud Milchus Kelayim writes that if he sees kelayim shel Torah, kelayim doraisa, in his friend's beged, and again we have many cases of what's called kelayim derabbanon, but in kelayim doraisa poshto bimenu afilu b'shuk, and all this depends upon our girsa in our Gemara, because one girsa says hamotzi kelayim poshto, and one has hamotzi kelayim bebigdo in his own beged. The Bach disagrees with the Tur in understanding the Rambam, and he holds that even according to the Rambam never said that Koro me'ola b'shuk unless the other person was amazing. But if he was a shogeg, then Shevi Altas said you don't have to notify him until he gets home, and that would avoid a violation of Kavod Abrios. Now, in the case where he realizes that he's wearing kelayim doraisa, is the moment he becomes aware of it, Rabbi Yehuda Marav says he has to take it off. My time, and the reason for that is based on a pasuk in Mishle, a very famous pasuk, Ein chachma vein tfuna vein eitzel neged Hashem. You can't find the chachma and a dre and try to figure out that if you do this, you do that, and find all sorts of heterim, because we're talking about keneged Hashem, and we're talking about kol makom sheish chil Hashem in cholkim kovid l'rav. There's a chil Hashem here in a public violation of the isur doraisa, in this case kelayim. And in such a case, we're not chole kavod. The Torah says, "Ein chachum ein tfuna." Forget about talmidei chachamim and their kavod. We're talking about a public violation of a Torah law, of an isur Torah of kelayim. Now, would this principle of ein chachum ein tfuna be limited to a case of farhesia? And we would say that an avera that was done, that was performed publicly, could not be trumped by kavod abrios. Well, we're not going to understand the next Gemara then. The Gemara is going to ask a kasha from Zaken, an elderly statesman who finds an aveda, let's say an animal, and it's not lefi chvodo, to to return it, and yet he's potter. And the Gemara is going to ask, why don't we say Ein Chachav Ein Eitzel L'Neged Hashem? We're not differentiating here between a Zaken who finds an Aveda publicly or he finds one publicly, but it means that the Chil Hashem is inherent in the Aveda itself. However, there is one shita of the Toras Chaim who insists that only if the Aveda was performed publicly b'farhesia, then we apply the principle of Ein Tvuna, of Ein Cholkim Kavod L'Rav. Meisve, the Gemara asks a kasha on Rav. We have a brisa that says Kavru es hames v'chazru v'lifneim shtei drachim. So after they buried the dead, there are two roads in front of them. Achas tahora v'achas tmeah. One has a kever on it, and the other one is tahora. Ba b'tahora the avil, after the burial, went down the tahora. Boim imo, all those escorts go with him b'derech tahora. But ba b'tmeah, what happens if he's going down a road where there is a kever? Now the question is, Kohanim are not allowed to go into that road because they pass over the kever, then they are going to violate the Isur of Tumas Kohanim. But nevertheless, the Brisa says that Boim Imo, they all go with him, B'tmeah, down the Tmeah, even the Kohanim could escort him, Ishum Kvoda, because of the covet of the Ovel. So the Gemara asks, Mamai, how is it mutter for the Kohen to be mitami himself because of the covet of the Avel? Lema, we should apply the principle of Ein Chochma Ein Tvuah L'Neged Hashem, that for the Kohen to contract Tumah would be a violation of an Isur Torah, and for covet Abrius, we're not going to override an Isur Torah, just like Rav said before with regard to Kelayim. Now, we should mention that although our Gemara is focused on Kavod HaBrios, and it tells us that with regard to a violation of an Issur Torah, Kavod HaBrios is not strong enough to trump a violation of an Issur Torah, but really we're not limited here to the discussion about Kavod HaBrios. There's also what we call Kavod Chachamim, Kavod HaRav, and that too, as we mentioned earlier, does not have the power to trump a violation of a Los Aser. The Rambam writes in Kalayim Perik Yud, Afilu imotze Kalayim v'bigdo shel rabo, shel limdo chachma, poshto mimenu. Again, whether that's the case of Shogeg Meizu, we don't know, but in any event, there's no Ein Cholkin Kavod L'Rav. So it's not only Kavod HaBrios, but also Kavod Rabo. The Rosh, on the other hand, disagrees, and he says that if he finds Kalayim, he becomes aware of Kalayim in the begging of someone else, he doesn't have to tell him, and he doesn't have to notify him. And according to the Rosh, we would have to say that our Gemara here that says Ein Cholkin Kavod L'Rav B'Mokum Sheish Kol Hashem, that's really not Shayach here. It's only that the Gemara is using that phrase. But if it was a case of Cholkin Kavod L'Rav, then he doesn't have to notify the Rav in order to get the Rav to strip publicly, because that would be a violation of Kavod HaRav. And even though the Gemara tells us in Erevin that when it comes to be Mafresh Isur, you're allowed to violate Kavod HaRav. For example, you're allowed to be Mora Halacha Bifnei Ravo because of the Chil Hashem and Ein Cholkin Kavod HaRav, and we find something similar to that in Sugyas all over Shas, that if you have two witnesses who are Talmidei Chachamim, they nevertheless have to stand in front of the judges, and we're not choshed to cover the Rav, because Makom Chil Hashem Ein Cholkin Kavod HaRav. So with all these Gemaras, it would seem to imply that this Maimar is Ikar Maimar Zeh Achei Nemar Shalo Lachlo Kavod HaRav Makom Sheikh Chil Hashem. That even with regard to Kavod HaRav, we have to override Kavod HaRav in the case of Chil Hashem. And here, the Gemara wants to establish that there's no power to Kavod HaBrios to be Docha Losa Shabbat Torah. And once we mention that, we also mention that Ein Cholkin Kavod HaRav B'Mokum Shel Chil Hashem. But it's not clear, this Rosh that we mentioned earlier, that if he sees Kalayim, then he doesn't have to notify him, whether or not the Rosh is going to insist that Ein Cholkin Kavod L'Rav is somehow suspended b'makom shechil Hashem. It doesn't seem that that's true because of all the rice that we brought earlier. So Tzarech Iyun, we have to go back and study this Rosh in an Iyun Shir. Meisvei, the Gemara asks the Kasha from the case of Kahuna, where even the Kohanim were allowed Mishum Kavod HaAvel to go down that path where there's a kever, and they would be violating an Issa Doraisa. How is that different than the case of Kelayim? So the Gemara answers, Targumah Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba reinterprets this Vraisa that we're talking about a Sada B'Beis HaPras, and that's only a Tumah D'Rabbanan. It means that there was a field, and we know that at one point in time a dead body was buried in that field, but afterwards, subsequently, they plowed up the field, and in such a case we don't even know if there's a shear of tumor there, because it could be that that it was the body was broken up into very small parts, and the whole tumor here is a tumor d'rabbanon. Now, the Rabbanon instituted this tumah of Beis HaPras, even though the atzomos, the bones of the person, were chopped up, and they were choshesh that when they plowed the field, which had a kever in it, that maybe the parts of the body, as a result of this harisha, was spread apart, and when a person would walk on this field, on the ground itself, he would actually move what's called an etzem kisaora. As he's walking, he would be mazes etzem kisora, and he would become tameh. But that's all midrabbanim. Midraisa is not tameh. We don't have to be choshesh that the machresha, that the plow, actually reached so deep down that the kever and the body that was buried there was spread apart throughout the field. So since it's on the east of the Rabbanon, therefore, since the tumah is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said we could be mochel on our kavod, meaning we could be mater our Issa of Kohen B'Beis HaPras because of kavod HaBrios, for the sake of the kavod of the Ovel. And the Chachamim permitted the Kohenim to go with the Ovel through a Sada B'Beis HaPras. But if, in the case of Kalayim, you would be violating an Issa D'Oraisa, then the Chachamim would certainly not allow that, because Ein Chachma Vein Tumuna Keneged Hashem. How do we know that Beis HaPras is only a Tumah D'Rabbanan? The Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel Menapa Odeh Beis HaPras V'Holech. A person could blow with his mouth on the ground, and he could walk, and if there's an etzem of a mess, then he'll see it as he's walking and blowing the ground. And he can go to Shechtes Korban Pesach, and he's Bechezkas Tor. Now, if Tumas Beis HaPras would have been Doraisa, they wouldn't be Mekil and rely on Neficha, you know, just blowing. That would not really convince us that he doesn't have any contact with an Etzem HaMes Kisora, and he's not moving it. So we see that Tumas Beis HaPras is only the Rabbanan, and therefore they were Mekil, and they relied on this Bedika, which is called Neficha. The Gemara brings another proof that Sada Beis HaPras is only Drabbanan. V'yom Rav Yehuda Barashi Mishmei Derav Beis HaPras Shenidosh Tar, that if people have walked on the Sada, then the Sada is Tar. Now if Tumas Beis HaPras was Doraisa, they wouldn't be Mekil and rely on Disha. So this is where we're going to stop for today. We're up to Tashma, and Amir Tzashem will finish let's finish this sugya of Kavod HaBrios, Bli Neder, tomorrow.